This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and narrator, Mike Luoma, and I've got the second part of Chapter 21 of Vatican Ambassador coming up on this episode. Our Bernard Campion, BC, once an assassin for the Vatican, now the Pope himself, is sneaking through the fringes, the outer parts of the Universal Islamic Nation, UIN, settlement on Mars. He's trying to sneak in to meet with its leader, Al-Salid. They had promised to get back together after both of them met with the Eldred, and now both have, but there's some additional complications that have come into play. BC is, of course, an unconventional pope, to say the least. We'll rejoin BC as he sneaks into a UIN facility on Mars in Part 2 of Chapter 21, a Vatican Ambassador coming up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Not much book news to report right now, but I do want to thank my patrons for supporting this podcast, and I'd like to encourage you to become a patron if you enjoy what you're hearing. You can do so for $2, $5, or $10 a month over at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or you can follow the links to that from glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. Just look for the Patreon link. Patreon's the page that collects the money and disperses it to creators like me on a monthly basis. So if you're into that, you want to help out, that'd be awesome. Again, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. We're going to get into Chapter 21, Part 2, next.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Chapter 21, Part 2 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC ducks into the shadows and flattens himself back against the tunnel wall. A tech comes shuffling into the tunnel, flashlight in hand. BC holds his breath. The tech stops, yawns, and stretches. He trains his flashlight beam on the wall opposite BC, lighting up what looks like a control box for the air transfer system. He walks over and plugs a reader into the box. BC can see green light from the reader shining around the silhouetted back of the tech. The tech unplugs the reader and turns, shuffling back the way he came, evidently never seeing BC.
Hard to see when you can't keep your eyes open. Guess that's working the graveyard shift for you. Nothing like a motivated employee, huh?
BC decides to trail the tech from a few yards back. He follows the disinterested worker out of the tunnel and into the main UIN facility. The tech walks through a maze of corridors, periodically pausing at control boxes and plugging in his reader, taking readings. BC waits each time, hanging back in the shadows, and then follows on as the tech continues on his rounds. BC compares the worker's route to the map of the facility he's keeping in his mind. They're winding a slow path through the southern wing of the facility, and should be nearing a tech center soon.
Atmosphere readings? What's he checking? Doesn't really matter, I guess. The facility looks old and a little run down all over, but still well kept. There are lingering traces of the unavoidable orange and red dust in every crack and crevice, giving every gray floor and wall panel a pencil-thin red outline. Its utilitarian design marks this wing of the UIN facilities as part of the old Japanese Martian holdings. BC knows from the plans that this wing is connected to the central core of the UIN facilities through a system of travel tubes. Need to get to those tubes to get into the central core of the UIN administrative section. But first I need some camouflage. Don't want to jump this guy in a public place. Come on, buddy, take a break. You know you deserve a little time off. Let me help you sleep. BC stops short and quickly backs off when he turns a corner and almost runs into the back of the tech. The man is stopped outside of a large set of double doors on the corridor's left-hand side. The tech worker stands waiting. His reader is plugged into an information retriever set into the wall to the left side of the doors. Must be spilling out all the information it's just gathered. Lucky this guy is half asleep or he might have seen me. BC waits. The tech finishes his download, unplugs his reader, and then heads through the double doors. BC follows quickly behind, finding himself in a dingy, yellow tile-walled locker room. The tech has made his way through the locker room to a door in the back wall of the room. BC ducks out of sight and watches from the shadows as the tech opens the door on a messy office. The tech sits down behind a paper-strewn desk in the office and puts on a pair of virtual gogs, along with earbuds and a stim strip across the back of his neck. Guess the Japanese left some of their toys here, too. Wonder what the Koran would say about this guy's late-night hobby. Hey, it's fine by me. He's going off into virtual la-la land, and so I can go through the lockers. BC tries a few locker doors, finds them locked. On his fifth try, he has some luck. Nice, an open empty one. BC strips off the atmosphere suit and stuffs it in the locker, all the while keeping an eye on the tech. Guy has a huge smile on his face and a huge swell in his pants. Gotta figure he's enjoying himself in there. BC tries some more lockers until he finds an open one with a tech uniform inside close to his size. He takes off his blue jumpsuit and exchanges it for a red tech uniform. Bingo, one tech uniform. No one notices techs until they need one. This will be perfect. I need some traditional headgear to hide my face, though. He tries more lockers, keeping one eye on the tech lounging in virtual reality in the back room. BC finally finds a black and red checkered keffiyeh and wraps it around his head and face, leaving just a slit for the eyes. He closes the last locker. BC looks around. The tech in the back is passed out. There's still no one else around. BC slinks away backwards, out through the double doors into the corridor. It's about 3 a.m, Martian time. There's almost no one out and about in the hallways at this hour. BC adjusts the keffiyeh slightly for better vision. This works. Now, let's see. I need to get 2 floors down so I can catch a travel tube to Mars Central and UIN Command. BC makes his way along the corridor to where the elevator should be located, according to the plans. There is a blank, gray-paneled wall instead. Okay. Maybe they moved the doors. BC consults the map in his head and finds his way around to the other side of the elevator shafts. The 3 stainless steel elevator doors waiting there are a welcome sight. Doors! Good. Glad the elevators are still running. Was worried there for a minute. He pushes the button to call an elevator. Clanging and hissing heralds the arrival of the empty elevator car. The door slides open with a loud squeal. BC steps into the all-stainless steel car, and his boots echo off the floor.
Clang, clang.
Meh, can I make any more noise? Maybe it's just too quiet otherwise. BC pushes the button for B2, 2 floors below, down where the tube should be. He rides the elevator down, listening to the sound of the old machinery complaining. Every move I make seems too loud. Thankfully, no one else seems to be around. Is everybody sleeping, or is everybody dead? I gotta think they're sleeping, with that tech being so nonchalant and all. The elevator opens into the travel tube station. Travel tubes, there they are. And another tech station. This tube facility is the end of a line. The only travel option is inward, to the central UIN facility. There's a tube terminus with twin arriving and departing tubes. The capsular tubes carry passengers from place to place on Mars through a system of underground tunnels. BC plans to use the tubes to reach the main dome, UIN Central Command, and Ibn al-Salid. This tube station is small, about 20 feet square. The roof is only slightly higher than 6 feet. The tube doors and passenger platform dominate the space, spanning the entire 20-foot length of the wall in front of BC. The tech station takes up the short wall to his left. Doors leading to the rest of the B2 level line the right-hand wall. BC walks over to the tech station. He's startled when another tech suddenly appears. The man says something to BC in Arabic. Great! What the fuck is he saying? I should have learned Arabic. BC shrugs at him. The man shakes his head and goes into the tech center. Maybe if I just sort of wander over to the tube doors. The man shouts out some sort of command at BC from the tech center's open door. BC wanders back over to the tech station cautiously. The man emerges, waving a reader at BC. He thrusts it into BC's hands. The man chastises BC and manages to sound patronizing even though BC has no idea what he's saying. He shakes his head and then shoos off BC, sweeping him off with the backs of his hands. I think he just gave me a job to do. BC turns and heads for the travel tubes. Hopefully it's a job I have to use the tubes to get to, or he's going to be yelling at me again. Let's see if he tries to stop me. BC goes over to the tube doors and calls for a capsule. Good. No reaction from him. Must be okay. Nice. I have an excuse to be riding the tubes this time of night. I'm on an assignment. The empty capsule arrives in the tube and the door opens. BC gets inside the travel tube capsule, a small passenger tube built to hold about 10 people with benches lining both sides. He finds the controls. Instructions are in Arabic. BC finds a language toggle and switches the language. Great, Japanese. Don't know that either. Let's see. BC tries the toggle again. Instructions come up in English. Excellent. The location names look like they're outdated. But Central Command is still Central Command, right? BC punches in his destination. With a whoosh, he's off down the tunnel. He toggles through the language settings on the reader the tech gave him until its display is in English as well. Huh. Looks like there's an environmental processor broken down in the main dome. Guess I'll deliberately get lost and wander off. He pictures the facility map in his mind. The tube's central hub is located directly underneath the main dome of the UIN facilities, beneath Central Command. BC arrives at the central hub for the travel tubes in about 2 minutes. He hops out of the tube and looks around. Two techs in red are walking through the station. BC looks down at the reader and tries to look inconspicuous. The central tube station is far more spacious than the outlying one. Tubes arrive and leave from the hub. The tubes all empty out into a large, roughly circular central area with a 10-foot-high ceiling. The circular ends of the travel tubes line the outer wall, broken up by 4 exit doors to the facility above. BC spots the exit he needs. Other passengers pass through the central hub, walk by BC as he makes his way through the tube station. There's more activity here. It's not bustling, but there are some people around even at this early hour. BC adjusts the keffiyeh and heads up out of the travel tube station amid other techs and early travelers. He goes over the central dome's plan in his head and orients himself. He needs to get up several levels and then into a secure area in order to see Al-Salid. There should be an elevator bank around the corner. He finds the nearby elevator bank, presses the up button, and calls a car. The doors open. A tech walks out past BC. BC gets in and presses the top button. This is great. Techs don't even notice other techs. I feel like I'm invisible. BC rides alone up 4 levels to the Civic Center, up and out under the main dome. The elevator door will not open when the car arrives at the 4th floor. A shrill beep sounds. A red security light comes on. Security, of course. But I'm just a tech on a job, officer. Wait a sec, let's see. BC plugs the tech reader into the elevator's control box. After a brief electronic exchange, the reader's screen and the elevator security light both turn green, and the elevator door slides open. That worked? Open sesame. BC pokes his head out of the elevator. The Civic Center will be bustling in just a few hours, but now at around 4 in the morning, it lays empty and still. He walks slowly across the Civic Plaza, allowing himself one quick glimpse of the domed ceiling. Feeling entirely too conspicuous. But I'm in. So why does it feel like I won't be able to get out again? BC walks from the plaza into a wide lane dividing 2 rows of buildings. The dome arches far overhead, a dimly lit gridwork sky. There are lights up there. They're just not turned on at this hour. It's not completely dark. It's sort of a state of permanent dusk. Central Command should be just up this street. The administrative area of the UIN is made up of several buildings, all clustered together under the open domed ceiling above. BC looks from building to building, and their floor plans flash through his head. He notices an impressive building ahead on the right, the tallest he's seen. It nearly touches the dome. A large, wide, open flight of stairs leads up and back from the wide lane up to the entrance of the building, ending under a pair of oversized arches at the top. There it is, the administrative center for the UIN Mars Holdings. I'm just your average ordinary tech, don't mind me. He heads up the stairs to the front door. Locked, naturally. Let's see if this thing is worth anything. BC plugs his tech reader into the control box outside the locked doors of the administrative offices of the UIN and requests access for repair work. The green light comes on as the doors click open. Beautiful, deeper and deeper. BC ducks inside the doors, easing them shut behind him. He's in the building's lobby, empty save for a security guard asleep at a large desk. BC creeps across the lobby and into a dimly lit doorway. A corridor stretches off towards the back of the building. If the plans are right, it's on this floor, back there. He walks down the corridor towards the offices of Al Saleed. He puts his repair order on the screen of the reader, and then toggles it back into Arabic as he walks. A lone guard sits at a desk outside what should be Al Saleed's office door. I'm a bored tech. I have a boring job to do in this boring office. You don't want to be bothered by me at all. I bore you. The guard looks up as BC approaches. He challenges BC in Arabic. BC nods politely and holds out the tech reader. The guard nods back. Then he nods towards the door, giving BC the go-ahead. BC tries not to hurry as he passes the guard and heads in through the office door. The guard watches him enter, then turns back to something on his desktop. Just your average ordinary tech. Nothing to see here. BC walks through the office suite and heads for the inner sanctum, Al Saleed's private office. It should be right here. BC looks over the door. No nameplate, nothing to show it's his office. But why would he need to? BC tries the door. It's unlocked. He opens the door and walks into a spacious corner office with windows on two walls, looking back out into the dome. Tapestries hung on the other walls warm the room with gold and red and amber designs. This has got to be his office. Oh! A sudden pounding at his temples stops BC in his tracks. No! Stop! No headache, not now! This time, though, the headache doesn't cooperate. BC feels the throbbing intensify. Pain chugs like a train through his brain, each chug a devil's chorus of cacophonous voices, shouting different words simultaneously. BC falls to his knees, doubled over by the pain. Damn! Worst in a long time! Stop! The headache won't stop. BC crawls over to one of the wall tapestries and uses it to pull himself to his feet. He staggers forward, falling into Al Saleed's desk. BC pulls himself around the desk and collapses into the chair behind it. Then a loud voice echoes in his head. Who is that? Who is there? BC hears the words shouted at him, but not aloud. The shouting is all in his head. Do you hear me? I see you. No need to shout, BC mumbles. Am I shouting? You must be Proximate. Who are you? BC asks out loud. Let's see. Can you defend? Fuck! BC's head explodes with pain, as if a long spike had just been drilled through his skull from temple to temple. He sees red, and then he sees nothing at all, blacking out. BC wakes up in a small space, curled up into a fetal ball. Somehow he's crawled somewhere. He rubs his eyes. Under a desk. I must have fallen under Al Saleed's desk. Oh, my fucking head. BC's temples are still throbbing with pain. I would prefer a hangover. A hangover would be an improvement. That's how bad this hurts. Gotta learn how to put up my mental dukes. Somehow raise my mental fists. Protect myself. He drilled into my head. At least it felt like it. But now I know that attack. I can see the shape of it. Feel the how of it since it was done to me. Maybe I can stop it next time. As he attacked, I could feel how he was thinking. He doesn't think like us. He's not like us. Not one of us. He really is old. Ancient, huh? Guess you'd say. Ancient enemy. It's gotta be him. Dolomei. It's gotta be. The Eldred said something about them having greater powers than we do. Said we were weaker. What if that motherfucker can read minds? Or blast other minds with pain. That's what it felt like he was blasting mine. What else can he do? And where is he? Is he here on Mars? How does he get in my head? And what time is it? The tech reader sits on the floor next to BC. He picks it up to check the time. Still early. 6 a.m. Things will be stirring soon. BC stops. He tries to listen with his mind for the voice. Hello? No answer? Good. BC creates a mental picture in his mind of two large lead doors. He thinks of the feel, the shape of the attack against him, and how it was done, and thinks that into a lock on his mental doors. Somehow it feels right. Let's see if that will hold back any new mental onslaught. I thought my mind was my exclusive domain. Now I'm suddenly forced to reckon with someone else trespassing in here? What the fuck? Where is he coming from? BC stretches out, cautiously emerging from beneath the desk. The office is still empty. BC sits down in the chair. Won't this be a picture? Al-Salid walks into his office, and here I am. God, though, my brain hurts. BC sits and waits. He rubs his temples, and then he falls asleep in the chair. He wakes up with Al-Salid standing over him.
Wake up, I said,
Al-Salid says in a loud voice. Huh? What? BC tries to answer as he wakes up.
I would like to say you've surprised me, Campion, but that is not the case. I was, informed that I would find you here this morning,
Al-Salid tells BC.
Informed? How?
So much for my surprise, BC answers.
It does not...
Al-Salid begins. He stops. A puzzled look crosses his face as if he's lost his place.
I do not...
He starts and stops again, looking confused. Then his countenance clears. He glares down at BC, a wild look in his eyes.
There's something strange about him, something weird going on behind his eyes. I hope he's okay.
Look, BC begins, Al-Salid, we agreed to meet after we each met with the Eldred to pool our information. Don't you remember? I told you I'd come incognito so we could keep it a secret for the time being. Because we can't trust the usual channels? It's important enough that I had to come myself, BC says.
You have nothing to tell me,
Al-Salid says to him.
What?
But, BC tries, what did they do to you, Al-Salid? You're not yourself. Did the Eldred do something to—
Guards!
Al-Salid shouts. Two guards come running in, rifles at ready.
Oh, great.
Deal with this trespasser,
Al-Salid commands.
Al-Salid, what is this? I'm the Pope,
BC protests.
I see no Pope. I see a pretender at best, and a cold-blooded killer at worst.
Al-Salid growls at him.
I see a fish once way out of his depth, and now way out of water, high and dry.
Al-Salid, we have mutual enemies. We need to band together.
So you claim,
Al-Salid says.
I say that's no longer the case. We no longer have any need to deal with you and your lies. Take him away,
Al-Salid shouts. The guards grab BC by the arms, one on each side, and lift him up out of the chair. They drag him out of Al-Salid's office.
Al-Salid! BC shouts as they drag him off. You said we should meet in secret to discuss our people's future, to combat the sickness, the plague, together. There's so much I need to talk with you about.
BC stops shouting as the office door closes behind him. He stops resisting his guards and stumbles along between them as they escort him out of the building and down the front steps. A small cart pulls up. They load BC unceremoniously into the back. The cart whisks BC over to the elevator bank, where another pair of guards helps him out of the cart and onto his feet. BC is shuffled off into the elevator and down four levels, and finally into a holding cell somewhere in the UIN security center. He has a vague idea of where he is, although he didn't spend too much time going over the plans of the prison cells. He paces back and forth in the small, 6-foot-by-4-foot cell.
This sucks. I hate being caged. Hate how claustrophobic I feel.
BC is left alone, cooling his heels for what seems like hours.
Great. This is working out perfectly. Just fucking wonderful. I knew he'd be surprised, but that was not the reception I expected. I thought he'd be receptive, at least hear me out. He was entirely different the last time we spoke. We talked about this. What could the Eldred have done to him? He looked so strange, something weird about his eyes, and the way he seemed lost a couple of times.
BC's head throbs.
No. Headache? No. What then?
You. You are...
The shouting voice echoes in BC's head again.
Gotta shut him up! Shut him out somehow!
He thinks about the lead doors he sealed in his mind before, pictures them shutting once again, and the voice stops and goes away. A headache begins to pound at his temples. BC tries to think it away.
Stop! It's like someone banging on the doors of my skull, pounding to get in. Keep out! Makes me tired. So draining.
BC pulls a cot down from the wall of the cell and lies down. He drifts off to an uneasy sleep.
That was Vatican Ambassador, Chapter 21, Part 2, on Glow in the Dark Radio. LBC has been captured by the UIN. That did not go so well. Al-Salid, obviously not himself, and BC wants to know what the Eldred have done to him. And BC himself is now coming under mental attack from Dolome? Seems like it. But there may be an ace in the hole BC doesn't know he has about to be played, as we'll see in Chapter 22, coming up on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Once again, please consider becoming a patron. For $2, $5, or $10 a month to help support this podcast. Help me bring you this serial of my Vatican Assassin trilogy as we're doing it now and whatever comes after. And again, thank you to those of you who do. That is all for this week. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.